We do. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is so rich and full. And we thank you, Lord, that you use us, that you speak through us, both directly, sharing of the word like this, and through our lives, through the witness and testimony of your Spirit among us, and as we go forth, just as we've sent Jacob forth, Lord, he goes forth bearing your word, bearing your life. And we pray that all these words would have life. And Lord, protect us from anything that is not life. In your precious name, Lord, I pray. Amen. I have been pondering this message for some time, and it hasn't necessarily gotten longer, but it's gotten different. But it comes back, and we're going to end up in Romans chapter 7 and 8. And if, as you may well know, those are well-trodden paths, and we just want us to see some of the light that the Lord has given me on that comes from there. What's been on my heart for a long time, and this particular scripture is John 10:10, and Mike quoted a little bit from the first half of that earlier. And it's important to see this entire verse. I have focused on the last half of the verse, but I think it's important to see the entire verse. And Mike shared the first part. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, the Lord Jesus speaking, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And what I hope to share here this morning, what I hope you see and hear, is about that abundant life, that we the Lord has given us life and life abundantly. And the world, our flesh, and this world and our enemy, the Lord's enemy, comes to destroy, to steal and to kill and destroy. The Lord comes to give more. Absolute opposite. And we need to hold on to that. We need to be aware of that. And we can see it day in and day out in our lives. And we can grasp it. Hold on to it. And I believe that Romans, the book of Romans, it's a really interesting book, and I have not done a particularly good study of it. But the thing that I want you to see and hold on to here is, there are a lot of threads being woven or braided together to create a very strong attachment to the Lord through the book. And I'm not going to try to get into all those, but they're there. And one of those threads, one of the things, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and the church at Rome is made up of Jews, converted Jews, and heathen who have come to know the Lord, and the Greeks, the Romans. I mean, these were all very different people. Rome was just a pot full of stuff, and not much of it very spiritual, but those that were there needed his encouragement, and he was sharing all these different threads, because each one comes from each person has a different need. Each person had a different thread. that was needed, and he was touching on them. But he comes to Romans 7. Well, I'll get to that. One of the things I think that's very important, I shared this a few weeks ago. This was one of the four passages that I shared a few weeks ago about Abraham. And I want to read it again, Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh is found? Now, again, he's speaking to these people in Rome who have a great need. They have a need of encouragement. They have a need to know how to live, to go forward. And so he's speaking to those who know of Abraham. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. And I'm going to stop there. It goes on about circumcision, and there are a number of things. Romans is just full of, it's rich in spiritual value. And there's no way I can touch it all, no way that I understand it. I want to give you what I believe the Lord has given me. So the point here is that it is not the works that we... This is what our brother Paul was talking about last week. It is not what we do that makes us righteous. It is Jesus. It is our belief in Christ that makes us righteous. It is our faith in what he has done, in what he wants us to be doing, not that we are doing something to make him owe us or to earn a place of standing. I have no standing to be here other than Jesus Christ. It is not anything that I have done. It's not anything that I can do. And that's important to recognize. So it's faith. And this faith, you know, the book of Romans is a book of faith, just like Hebrews. You know, we think of Hebrews as a book of faith, but this is a tremendous book of faith. I'm going to skip over a lot of stuff that's worth study and go to Romans chapter 7. So if you want to go there, I'm going to start in the first verse. This is something that the Lord has shown me and never saw it before. Never saw it in this way before. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law. For the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound. So we serve in newness of the Spirit, not in oldness of the letter. Now, I'm sure you recognize these verses. I'm sure you've heard them. You may have read. There's a great deal that's been written about it. A great many scholars have studied these chapters. And, I tread on ground that may be already well understood by you. But what the Lord has shown me here is something that I hadn't seen before. And it's about this matter of the wife. You know, this is odd, if you really look at it. It's odd because it's talking about a known human institution, marriage. God gave us marriage. God gave us instituted. He brought, made man and woman to be bound together. And that's what I thought this was about, this first section, that it was about that Paul was trying to help us see, and he is trying to help us see that under the law, it's like being married to someone, and we are under the law. We are under sin and condemnation, and only by dying can we be free from that relationship. And that is the law. You know, if the husband dies, the wife is free to marry another. She is no longer, she just can't be called an adulteress. It's not a sin. It's not wrong. The requirement of the law has no bearing anymore upon her relationship with her former husband, the husband that died. Okay, well, I sort of see that. I mean, I understand that. It makes sense. We've lived with that. We've seen that around us. But then it says this other thing, that we die. Therefore, verse 4, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Well, that's not the way of the flesh, is it? It's not, we are to die. We are to die. It's not the husband that dies and now we're free to marry Jesus. We are to die to marry him. And that doesn't spin out well for me. I'm trying to understand that. And that's one of those things that I accept that. I have accepted that. I have seen that and you know, realize that it's up to us, and it's sort of, you know, it makes sense the way it's laid out here, that if I die, I can join him who died. Okay, that's good. But I want to bring out another aspect of this, and I hesitate. I know it's not a good thing to try to cast the scripture in light of the time that it was written. You need to be careful about that. But I believe the Lord has given it to me this way. And the thing that is important is, how did we get married? We are the wife. That's what this is talking about. We are the wife. How did we get married? In this place right now, where we live, in our society, the husband and the wife, there's choice here. it's more and more, there's more and more freedom for those who are going to be married to make their own decision. Back then, that wasn't the case. It was the father who made the decision as to who we would marry. They betrothed us to a man for whatever reason. That wouldn't certainly wasn't romantic love that was involved, typically. There's all sorts of things about marriage that needed to go forward. And the father of the woman, the bride, was the one who betrothed. Who's our father? Adam is our father. Adam betrothed us to death. That's what I'd see here. He betrothed us to death. We have to get out of that. We are unable to do anything about it. There were betrothals that took place as soon as the child was born. Such it was with us. We were born into sin. We are born into a relationship based upon the knowledge of good and evil, not upon the tree of life, not upon Jesus Christ. We are sinners, born in the flesh, living in the flesh. The sinful passions were aroused. I don't want to go into that. That's too much. But now we are, this is verse 6, but now we have been released from the law, released from that binding, because we can die in Christ. Now, I want to take you back to that same picture. Adam, our father, who betrothed us, we didn't have any choice in the matter. It was done for us. Done to us, I suppose, is another way to look at it. If Adam, what did the Lord say to Adam? What were the words that God gave to him back in the garden? He created him, he set him in the garden, and he said, "Eat freely. This is my place for you. Eat freely. Accept. Leave the tree that's in the center of the garden alone. Do not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Well, what spun out there? What happened there? You know the story. Eve took of the tree and ate. She was tempted by Satan, tempted by this one who seeks to kill and destroy. He's not giving us anything. He was bringing pain. He was bringing suffering. He was bringing death. But Adam didn't die. Adam ate of the tree, but Adam didn't physically die. Well, I've always thought about that as, well, yeah, that's because, I mean, he died later. He was going to die. Maybe he wouldn't have died otherwise. Well, he wouldn't have died if he ate of the tree of life. The point is, there are two different lives going on here. Adam lost the life in the spirit that we have gained in Jesus. Adam lost it. He gave it up. He died to God. He was thrown out. He was on his own. He was forced to live by the fruit that he ate. He would, just as we are until we come to the Christ. We are unable to help ourselves. We are sinners doing that which we choose to do, not what God wants us to do. We are separated from him. There is death there. Death that must be accounted for. And so, as we know, the Lord Jesus takes that, has taken that death. All right, there's a lot here, and I hope I haven't stirred up something that confuses you, but I want to come to one more thing that's very important here. And that's over in chapter 7. I'm going to skip some of these things again because they're rich, but they're complicated. But in verse 14, again, there is a spiritual life. Adam died spiritually. He still lived on in the flesh until he passed away, which we know he did. He died physically, and all of us are sentenced to die physically. But there is also life and death in the spiritual world, in the ways of the Spirit. For we know, verse 14 of chapter 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, and on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to come back to it. What I saw here that is very important for us is to realize, you know, one of the explanations, I guess, of Romans 7, Romans 7 sort of demands an explanation. It's hard to understand. And we try to, I have heard many try to explain and say, well, what is Paul talking about here? Is he talking about himself? Is he laying out something that's for you and I? Is he laying out something? Is this a sinner? I mean, an unbeliever that's being converted? Or is it a believer who's struggling? Is it something that takes place all at once and is done forever? Now, I've very quickly run over some ground that has been covered by people and argued over and struggled with. But what I want you to see here is, I believe, and you don't have to agree with this, but I think you'll agree with the point that I hope you agree with the scripture, what it says. I believe Paul is speaking to all of us at whatever state we are in our spiritual walk. And the reason I say that is, this is not a person who is, this is a believer. The person that's being described here is a believer. Why do I say that? I mean, because he keeps falling back into sin. Is this our destiny? I don't want that to be. But what it's saying is, He talks about sin dwelling in me. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing, this is what I want to get to, the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. I'm going to pause there for a moment. It sounds as if there's no escape. That's not true. But that's the way you could read that. I don't have a chance. Well, if I'm betrothed by Adam, I don't have a chance. It's there. It's there and it's going to be there until this flesh is transformed into a heavenly body. It's there. And I don't have to like it. And I may kick against it and I may not want to do it. But the fact is it's there. But there is other life in me. Because what he says in verse 22, as you continue on, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Who joyfully concurs with the law of Christ? Is it a man of the world? No, it's us. We know, we sense it, we realize what it is, we realize that we fall short, but we really want to do good, we want to do well, we want to be what the Lord wants us to be. And yet I am constrained by this flesh. I am doing the very thing I do not wish. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Sin is there. Joyfully concur, verse 22, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? I want to be set free. Paul wants to be set free. And I find myself coming up against this in different ways all the time. You know, I'd like to say that here I am. I was saved when I was 15. I am 65 next week. Is it next week or the week after? Well, soon. That's a lot like 50 years. And yet, sin still is crouching in there. Okay. The Lord Jesus wants to set me free, and I want to be free. And so we are like this bride. We are able, thanks be to God, verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. On the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I want to get away from that. Not the serving God part. I want to get away from serving the law of sin. This is what I understood Paul talking about last week, is I can't do it. I can't do it by works. I can't not sin. I have tried. I have done. I've tried to avoid, I've tried to set apart, I've tried to put aside, and it won't stay dead. I'm trying in the flesh. I have tried in the flesh to defeat the flesh, and it can't be done. It cannot be done. But it is a fact that it's there. And so what happens? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. I need to take this by faith. I need, you know, our brother Jay reminds us often, take it to the cross. Well, what does that mean? Take it to death. Those things that we struggle with, take it to death. Where is that death? The death that kills that is our victorious Lord Jesus. His blood, his cross, is the one that saves us, that separates us, that causes us, allows us to live in the Spirit. There is now no condemnation. I can come no matter where I stand, what I have done, how I have fallen short. I can come to him and plead his blood. Lord Jesus, I am dead. I am dead in you. I can't do this. You have to do this. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to set all this aside. I don't want to try to live by that flesh. I don't want to try to do any of that. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to live by the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. And Romans 8 goes on to speak of many marvelous, wonderful things that we can take by faith. We have to take them by faith. We have to trust him. Believe him. Go forward in him. Not trying to fix it. We can't fix it. It can't be fixed. It is there's that expression, a leap of faith, and I don't know whether that's true or not true, but this is kind of a leap. You know, you're struggling, recognizing, you know, I'm failing here. This is not where I want to be. I want to be in him. I just have to go to him. I just have to trust him. Believe that what he says is true, and it will be reckoned to me as righteousness. Not only reckoned to me as righteousness, but reckoned I can have life. I can have that life that Adam lost. I have partaken of the tree of life. That which Adam could not do, he was thrown out of the garden so that he would not do, has been offered to us. We can eat of the tree of life, and I can do it at any time. I can step away from, I can step into the blood and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I can walk according to the Spirit, and I can hear the voice of the Lord. I can sense from the Scripture the power of God. That's what the Lord is offering us. That's what Paul is talking about. And it's, I share this partly because I don't want you to be discouraged if you struggle with these things. Well, I think I'm saying you're going to struggle with these things. That's been my experience, and it's not my experience that judges the Scripture, but we do struggle, and we want to be transformed, as it says in Romans 12. We are being transformed. You know, there was a... Do not be discouraged by testimonies that... I don't know if it discourages you, but sometimes I get discouraged by wonderful testimonies, and that's stupid. But Paul brought up one about Rick Baker, you know, and I've heard him say this, that the Lord just took away stuff that was violent in him. It just disappeared. That's what I want! Take it away! But that's not the way it is. That's not what the Lord has for me. He has transformation. He is working through us. It is not a cookbook. He is working for us as we need, as he wants us to see and be touched and be changed. And he is doing the work. He comes to us. It is his power. It is not my power. I can't want it bad enough. There is no condemnation. Do not, you know, there are many reasons I can condemn myself and should not be standing here telling you these things, saying these words. But I can say them in the power of Christ, because he has taken all my sin and has reckoned it to me as righteousness. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Sin is condemned. It is to die. It is to be destroyed. He is victorious. And it is a finished work. Let us trust him. Let us take by faith what he has given us, that we can enter into life, live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Simply by asking, trusting him. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your patient, loving kindness to us, your grace and mercy to us. Nothing that we have earned, but what you have done. And that you are victorious no matter how difficult our circumstances. That Kevin Sheets, who struggles so much with this chemical addiction of drugs, and Bradley, Lord, it just seems impossible, but you can do it. You are doing it. You are bringing them through whatever it is. Just as I am addicted to those things of the flesh, just as surely as the addiction of chemicals, Lord, we cannot get away except by your death, our death in you, bringing us life into life in the Spirit, and a union with you and a union with our brothers and sisters. We thank you and praise you, Lord, and ask you to help us to grasp and to walk in your way, being transformed day by day. In your precious name we pray. Amen.